Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With my dear friend Alex Zung, I'm here today because you're going through a world of shit right now. And I think that you've been on the podcast. We hang out quite a bit here in LA. You're a touring comedian. A lot of big things have broken for you in a good way. You've broken into the industry. I want to like walk everybody through this conversation today to hear about like the struggles that you're going through as an artist. And to have this conversation with you openly, and ultimately, I'm trying to raise funds for Alex. There was a GoFundMe on his condition that I was made aware of through Jess Vu and a few other influencers in our community, and here we are today. So, Alex, thanks for letting us in, and can you tell me? We were hanging out a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And at what point did you start to feel something?
Okay, baby, give me some space. That is talking to Kenneth. I love you. During the fires, it just like really like messed me up. I like had a mental breakdown. You know, you're seeing all your friends like lose everything and all that we worked for. And just your entire town in flames, just on edge. Really, everything's at risk. Like all this gone.
And you were normal before the fire?
Completely normal.
Completely normal.
And then all the pressure just like built behind my eyes. And I don't know what happened, if I had a mental breakdown or whatever, but then I even took out my contacts. I stopped wearing contacts because it was bothering me so much. And then it all just localized behind my left eye. And then it was like bothering me here and there. I thought it was just like a headache. Okay, I'll take like some Arnica, some healthy juices. Maybe like to be outside or whatever, you know, it's fine. I'm healthy. 9 years of sobriety, never had a health scare, no nothing. And then, yeah, it just got worse and worse. And then my wife was like, hey, it's almost a close off for like healthcare sign up. Why don't you like sign up for healthcare and go to the ER?
You didn't have healthcare before? No healthcare for all these years.
Tried my best to avoid it. Just couldn't afford it. Could not afford it. Not for my family. It's easier to pay the fine. Easier to pay the fine when you pay your taxes than pay $12,000 a year. That's estimated what my family would cost.
So your whole family, no health care?
No health care until now. Barely just got it because of this whole situation. And I get the health care. I'm like, okay, it kicked in. I checked in with, you know, the healthcare company, hey, if I come in on this day, I'm going to be covered, right? I don't want to be, you know, taken down the rabbit hole with you guys. They're like, yes, you'll be covered. I go to the ER. I tell them about the swelling because my eye's like almost falling out at this point. And they do a CAT scan. And it turns out there was a mass behind my eye, all through the nose and just sitting in there, pushing my eye out. That's why I'm wearing the eye patch. I just don't want to freak out too many people, but they admitted me. And then they were like, okay, well, we're going to do a biopsy tomorrow. We're going to check it in. And I go do the biopsy and I wait an entire week in the hospital, just sitting there. And I'm like, nurses in and out, doctors in and out, pain meds, steroids, whatever. It's a nice room. I don't care. What is going on with me? And they're like, well, it's probably cancerous.
Whoa.
Like, okay, really? And so finally they're like, okay, we have an idea of what it is. We're gonna discharge you. We're going to come back next week. We're going to do an angiogram, make sure it's not attached to your brain or everything. It looks decent. And then we're going to remove it. But then in that time, when they discharge me, I'll go to the eye doctor. My eye's fine. I can see. Due on that Friday. I go weekend. Have a good time. Go see the hang out with the family. Oh my God. So nice to be at the hospital. Finally. My daughter goes to school. I sit down. I walk. I have lunch. Suddenly I take off the eye patch to breathe a little bit. And then I was like, wait, why? It's all black now. I call the doctor and I'm like, hey, I can't see through my eyes. Oh shoot. Come to the ER. So I go to the ER. They admit me. I get rushed into surgery, and then they finally, like, you know, make sure the angiogram's okay. Then they finally take out most of the tumor. But then they don't tell me that they didn't go behind my eye. So now there's still cancer behind my eye, and there's still proptosis, which my eye is bulging out, and I can't see, and there's still pressure just sitting behind my eye because there was no neuro ophthalmologist who I was told would be there in the operating room to help, like, take this out and then take. So there's still cancer in my eye after 2.5 weeks, full time in the hospital, full time around doctors. Luckily, out of like pure frustration, I just like signed out of the hospital I was in. I was like, I'm tired of you guys. I'm just like being fed and given drugs and everything. I'm sitting there getting fat. I'm missing my family. I'm not able to like interact. My daughter's not allowed up on most nights because of, you know, they don't allow kids in hospitals anymore. But let's go to UCLA. I take an Uber 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm just frustrated. I go to UCLA because that's where one of the doctors gave me some kind of like, you know, reassurance, like, hey, it was like, you know, like these are the possibilities. This is what you have. This is what we're hoping for. Meanwhile, the other hospital's like, no, let's go to chemo.
So wait,
this, you can live like this.
The neuro-ophthalmologist could have been there and prevented or taken out a part of the mass. Could they have controlled that?
There's no guarantees, but yes.
They could have like scraped, because this is microscopic, right? This went through your nose.
They could have went in there and cleaned out behind my eye. But
they weren't there.
Out of town.
And they couldn't call like another neuro-ophthalmologist in?
They called one, but she came a week. They didn't call her in immediately. The one that was there, the one that was told to me in the ER, you're like, we have several neuro-ophthalmologists that are going to be on your case. I didn't see a single one until a week later. That wasn't even part of their system. She was a consult. She was a recommendation, a referral. But now,
let's talk about your life in the last 9 years and where you landed right before this. The success that you've landed, opening for Ronnie Chang, which is a big deal in our world.
It's a blessing, man.
Yeah. Tell me what happened. You were on the podcast a few years ago. From that point to today, or right before the fires, you were experiencing a lot of success. You're breaking into the business in a big way.
I achieved a three episode guest star as a lead lead guest star on Blue Bloods, opposite Donnie Wahlberg the whole time, and that was like a dream come true. I got a guest star. I can't be a co-star. I can't do these one-liners anymore. I turned them all down. I was like, I'm not doing one-liners. I'm not doing accents. I'm him. I feel confident in myself and my abilities that I could represent Asian men outside of these, you know, these rough little, like, you know, illusions of ourselves and media. And they drew like this really complex, like, arc for me. Thanks to Van B. Nguyen. Like, she drew this complex leadership-like arc, gang member, but with a heart.
This is a Vietnamese writer inside?
Van B. Nguyen, and who wrote for Blue Bloods. She made me look.
Did she know you before?
No.
She didn't know you. She just knew that it was a Vietnamese guy that was on the show for Blue Bloods.
Yeah, that
wow
was going to.
And that is why our network is so important.
100%.
And we see Vietnamese in mainstream, or we have seats at the table. This is why it's so critical, because they can make changes on the inside and write a part for you.
And it's the real deal. It's not this watered down thing. You have people teaming up. Of course, there's collaborations between all different types of culture. But then Van comes in and says, this is really what it is. And they gave her leeway. We are going to trust you. And that's all I want. I just want to be trusted, you know, with what I do, with what we do. We just want to be trusted. And like, no, I don't know if I can like trust myself. I can't even drag myself to auditions. I can't. I'm just going to be a friggin'. I just feel like I'm a cripple now, man. This is everybody I worked for. He says, like, 2 weeks. 2 fucking weeks, man. It's just all gone.
In the last 2 weeks.
And I'm like, I just went grocery shopping today and I'm bumping into people, and people are like, the fuck is your problem? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm getting on my sister, like, she's got her family. I get people friggin' shepherding me around. I'm 40 years old, man. Look at all my limbs. I got. It was gonna be a good year. I knew it was gonna be a rough one because of, you know, superstition, and I'm a rat. This is the year of the snake. It was gonna be a rough one, but frick, man, just. Can I just have a cool year where I work? I just want a cool year where I work and I earn a little money and I can take care of my family.
Yeah, it sounded like the schedule that, you know, you were telling me in the pre-interview today, that you were stacked. You're busy. You're opening shows. You're on the road. You're breaking in.
And I mean, there's just getting all my road dates together, just going and running, gunning, setting up cameras, shooting. And just trying to build up my cachet so I can just be like, okay, yeah, I can, yeah, if you pay me for this weekend, I'll be there, I'll do all your jokes, I'll talk to your crowd, do the meet and greets and everything. And that's just, I have to go by myself. We're moving so fast that I can't be like, hey, can you like make sure I don't walk into the wrong airplane? Can you like make sure I don't get robbed? Can you make sure I don't leave my equipment? We're not rock stars. You know, we're comedians. I don't have roadies that could help me out. I can't drive myself to like gigs. So like, what do I do now?
You know, when I see GoFundMe campaigns, right? I think about why they set certain dollar amounts, right? And I want to kind of walk our audience through that, because I think it's important for us to understand how these numbers that we all come up with, why the number that you came up with, I believe it was 45,000, right?
Yeah.
And in my heart, I don't know how far 45,000 can go, right?
I don't know either.
I don't even know why that is even a number, but I guess it's something that we might achieve. And the last time I saw it, it was like around 70,000, or I don't know, but it's around that ballpark. But why 45,000? And what does $45,000 on a GoFundMe, what does that do for you? And how much does GoFundMe keep? I don't know. Arbitrary amount.
It is not something that I made. It's not something.
So you're like a family.
It was made out of the earnestness in their heart just to get past this first hurdle.
Yeah.
Because that's what I imagine. I don't know the amount. I barely knew the amount either. I didn't register. It didn't register with me.
But you're not working now. You can't work for the next.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know if you can work. You don't know if you can earn money for your family.
Yeah. So I just don't even, I didn't calculate that. I'm just happy to maybe not have to pay all the bills. Maybe it keeps me going enough to where like I end up having to go back home, and I don't know, just pack my worst case scenario, just pack my stuff up and I really don't know, Kenneth. I don't know about the dollar amount. I don't know like how and when earning happens, or I don't know what the surgery was going to help. I don't know if I'm going to get my my eyesight back. I don't, you know, in my left eye, I guess, I don't know. I just got to work at a kitchen somewhere or something where they're like, I get used to the flow and, you know, I don't bump into too many things.
Work in a kitchen, like a food restaurant kitchen? Oh, we got to figure this out. So, Alex, walk me through what the next, walk me what the next 4 weeks look like for you. Like, medically, like, what's going to happen?
Well, they're going to, luckily I chased down UCLA because they did give me, like, I got a really interesting phone call. They said that they might, this upcoming week, try to go back in and, you know, try to debulk some more of it.
What kind of cancer is it?
It's called alveolar rhabdomyosarcoma, ARMS for short.
Is it rare? Is it an aggressive form? What is it? Brain? Is it, what is it related to?
It's the weirdest thing because it happens in like your limbs. I did all this research on it after they gave me the final pathology, but it happens in your limbs. And then there's a lot of rough data on it because it's a rare type. So,
and is it a brain thing or is it like
a soft muscle cancer?
And do they know what stage, how far along it is yet?
Luckily, it hasn't metastasized.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like nose down. My entire body is clear.
Yeah.
No nodes.
Nothing.
It's,
so it's brand new then.
It's brand new. So.
But it's aggressive enough to put one eye out.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there. I just don't know, man. Like, it's no saying, but the doctors, I guess. You know, we're in 2025. Hopefully they're going to take some swings because I've been taking swings my whole freaking life. I just hope they would, like, you know, take a swing themselves, and I just hope that, you know, the next steps are good and then it's chemo.
When do you go into chemo treatment?
This month.
Are they going to scrape more of it out?
That's what they're hoping.
Okay.
To scrape more chemo. And I don't know. I can't work, perform, great things. I just don't want anything to risk it.
So your whole tour with like Ronnie and being on the road is completely wiped out now?
I have to cancel everything. Just like, I don't want anything to like, I don't want to get into a car accident. Because I'm so like, you know, it needs to be done and I can do it. And it's so hard to have anyone. I mean, I know they want to love and help and like support. And I know people will take me to gigs. I know people will do me but the doctors did say something very important to me. They're like, Alex, you sound like you've been taking care of a lot of people your whole life and you've been taking care of, you know, your family and your career and everything. But I think this is the one time you have to sit down and take care of yourself and that's it. And it is the most maddening thing in the world where I have to sit here and truly focus on this thing that's inside of me that came out of nowhere. That's like taking like one of my eyes already, and it's just that I don't feel, I just know where my head's gonna go. I've already, but this morning I spilled a whole cup of hot coffee on the dog by accident, and it really made me want to like check it too, like a nut house. So I was like, I'm not safe around anybody. I can't even pass coffee to my wife, but I was spilling scalding hot coffee on the dog, and now I'm just like, I'm not safe. I just don't feel, I don't trust myself around anybody anymore. I just don't want to hurt anybody, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm in the way.
You know, for everybody who's listening, if you've ever heard Alex perform and if you've ever seen him just out in the wild, you're a pretty wild guy.
I am.
You're pretty funny. You're pretty like, you're out there.
You're like, go there, dog.
You go there.
Have you fun. And then
you cross there. You don't give a flying fuck. You are like what every, you know, what so many comedians, you know, in Vietnamese world.
I'm a store comic, man.
Yeah, you're store comic. You're like, you came out of like the belly of the beast. I mean, literally, how long were you at the store for?
Bro, just the roast battle days for like, that was like at least 6, 7, 8 years.
And it's a damn grind. I know. I've
heard you. Vietnamese guy to like take the title. First Vietnamese guy to take to get the on-screen credit. First Vietnamese door guy at the Comedy Store.
Now, let me ask you something. Let's just say you had the ability and you couldn't see, but somehow it worked out. Do you think you could be funny in your state?
Yeah, it's like, oh, who would he be for work?
I need this moment of levity right now. You know?
Yeah, sounds like you, you're a good looker. I'll still like.
In your mind, can you still function? Can you still go at it? Or is it all the shit's weighing down in you?
God, well, I still got my sense of humor. You got
to. We do. We got to bring that back right now, like in our conversation. We'll make it a little light.
It has to stay there. I cannot let go of it because what else?
Is there? Yeah. Yeah.
The sense of humor is always going to be there. And even though through all this stuff, like my friends are texting me and they're all. They're staying in touch with me, just making sure everything's okay. What can we drop off? What can we do? We're rooting for you. Everyone's on board, man.
What don't you want to hear from people? What are the things you don't want to hear? Hey, man, you're going to be really good. Don't worry about it. What don't you want to hear from your friends? Because I think this is sort of a lesson for whoever's listening, because we don't know what to say. We're like always awkward. Like, how do we know what to say, right?
In this situation, it's just like, the healthcare system is messed up, huh? We know that. Well, no, it has to be said. No, I guess.
What annoys you when people say, you know, hey, you're gonna be all right?
Yeah, it's that tone, you know. It's that word like, oh yeah, pick yourself up. You're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. Yeah, okay.
Well, we don't know that.
But we don't know that.
We don't know that.
We don't know where this is gonna take a turn.
So as you're telling
the worst.
As you're telling somebody, a close friend, you just want them to hear you, right?
Yeah.
You just want them to like understand and be heard.
Yeah, just like what do you need from me is so much better than like
what do you need?
You're gonna be okay.
Yeah.
It's better to say I'm going to be okay versus you are going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't tell you're not going through my situation.
Yeah.
And I'm just everyone's just trying to be just cool and
supportive. Yeah. But it's how can we support, right? How can we help?
100%.
And how we can help is sending money to the GoFundMe page. That's set up.
You're the relief of everybody and everything that's around me right now. It's always about, you know, the nice little things and the food and the drinks, but money.
Yeah.
Will take this to a new level. It will help me possibly seek experimental, you know, surgeries. I might, you know, look into stem cells. Because, again, I'm going to take those swings.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be confined by American medicine. You know, I'm not going to just always only do that. There's so much technology out there that's, you know, that America won't allow. Because, you know, they're like, no, this is how we do it. This is how we do it. Not when you drive right outside the border. Canada's doing amazing
things. Mexico's
doing incredible things. Everyone's going to Turkey. Everyone's going to Korea. Everyone's going to Denmark. Not a single athlete. Consults American medicine. Not a single American athlete looks to American doctors for help. They go outside of America because we are the biggest squares when it comes to medicine. Got to make sure, you know, it checks out with them, you know, because, you know, God forbid people get better in this country. It's turning me into just a really angry, angry person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to do that because people are trying their best, but you're trying your best according to the books that you were indoctrinated in.
Yeah, yeah.
You're outdated resources, and that's how I ended up in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah, because in Mexico, it's like, what makes sense? Is what makes sense.
He's got cancer, get it out.
Well, and it's not blocked by some law or
no.
Big pharma. It's just, you know, they can do what they want.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad. Get it out. We're going to wait. We're going to see.
And this waiting caused the issue, right? The waiting caused the issue.
It didn't help.
Yeah.
It absolutely did not help. Because I've had the pressure and I've had the team in there. gotta pick up my daughter today from school or like her friend's house or whatever. But I can't. My sister had to take me like a freaking, like a Miss Daisy in my own car that I pay for, that I can't pay for, that I'm like scared to drive because I might run somebody over because I don't see them. Which don't want to hurt more people, you know, that's a very, very like terrible, terrible place to be in.
What did you have to do to let your people know, like Ronnie, Chang, and the different places that you have to tour? What did you have to tell them?
Well, they know that I can't perform. I can't. I posted the picture just because like it's kind of like a, oh, shoot. Hey, let me be a little more vulnerable and go through a thing right now. Within the ground, there's just people that reached out were just like, hey, I'm down bad, man. They checked, you know what I mean? I was like, I didn't know it was going to be as bad, but it got really bad, and now it's the worst. So, you know, you talk to them, and you're like, I don't know. What are you going to hire? Like a what am I have to get like a seeing eye dog or something? Or am I going to have to? And again, I can't.
You can't. You have to go on stage.
I have to go to funny. I have to go do chemo. I can't go tell jokes.
Yeah, but you I mean, mentally, you're not at that. Emotionally, you're like out blood. for
blood. To dial in a whole audience, a live audience, it's just you versus 1,000 people. You versus, well, hundreds, sometimes thousands. And then you're like, okay, I'm gonna dial you in. I know where everybody is. I know how everybody's feeling. Like, you can't do that for like, I don't know. You're just all done. I was beyond my freaking, well, I mean, vlogging. Like, you know, sure, man, hanging at chemo. And I'd rather be just performing for like maybe 20 people to die apart with that store. I'd rather do that than, hey guys, I'd rather entertain people live always, and just like take it from me. I just don't know where things go now. But I just know I got ground support. I got my family, and I don't know. Just take a day at a time right now.
Yeah.
But everything else is off the table.
Well, look, I'm gonna post this, and I'm asking the audience to really chip in and help. That's why we're here. We'll keep it short today, and we'll come back in a few weeks, you know, and we'll check back in, and we'll get back on the podcast, you know. Meanwhile, take care of yourself. Let us know, let the community know what you need, and feel free to reach out. You know, if I can, I will.
Yeah, 100%. I know. The GoFundMe would mean a lot just to figure out things for the next, you know, I guess the rest of the year and medical procedures, and I just don't know. But
I'm going to end on this question. Looking back, you've had 2 weeks to be sort of in the hospital, just downtime a lot. You know, life has stopped, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you regret not doing up until this point? When you sit back and you go, man, I sure spent my time on some whatever.
Yep.
What are some of the things that you're like, damn, I wish I would have done that before I'm like in this situation?
Oh, this is going to sound very campy, but nothing. I swing every day.
Everybody should go as hard as possible. So if you're in the situation, you will never look back, and you won't have any damn regrets.
That's right. Swing every fucking day.
I would, man.
Love you, bud.
All right.